Baby loss and memories, mementos, and rituals. Welcome to Grief and Grow with Julia Girl. I'm Julia Girl. I am a transformational master coach and grief and growth expert. I also am specialized in work with women after losing a baby. I myself have lost my son, Zeman, in February 2016 when he was born prematurely and died in my arms 5 days later. That's what led me on the path of supporting other women after baby loss, no matter if early in pregnancy or afterwards as a stillborn, as a preemie. And it sprang out of wanting someone who can support me, that has experienced the loss of a baby, that gets it, gets what is so different to other losses, and that also has the tools that can help me to cope with it. So someone who is on the other side, basically, and has the has learned how to support others. That's why I did all my certifications and why I studied and read a million books. So today we're talking about memories, mementos, and rituals and how they can help you to cope in your grief, and why this is again a special topic when we have lost our babies. When we lost our babies, we often don't have as many memories, mementos, and rituals. We also don't think about them in the way that we think about them when we grieve the loss of a parent, a friend, someone else who has had a life. Somehow the memories, the mementos, come naturally there. We have pictures, we have the time we spend together that we can think of, other people can relate to us. We come together at maybe the funeral and share stories about the person. And the absence of those memories and mementos makes it sometimes really lonely. You might feel isolated in your grief when you lost a baby. So in this episode, I don't just want to leave you with the feeling of, oh yeah, I'm helpless, I'm isolated, no one is with me, no one shares this with me. I want to give you other options of how you can create your own memories, mementos, and rituals. So I believe that it is easier to grieve and allow ourselves to remember and create and go through this experience of sadness and anger and really actively do that than pushing it away. Because when we push it away, it often comes unexpected. We get triggered by seeing other babies, and that might happen anyways. Like, you might have all of that, and we can talk about it. But it is a different kind of working through your grief. So yes, so what memories and mementos help you to say goodbye? They help you to honor your baby. They help you to share it with others. So what you can do is step number one, I'll give you a few steps, a few things that you can do. Number one, naming your baby. Naming your baby is one thing I find really important, and for you, it might be obvious, maybe you already named your baby, during the pregnancy. Maybe it's just something that, you have done. But what it does is it helps you acknowledge your baby. Helps you acknowledge their existence, helps you to also acknowledge that they're real, so is your heartbreak, so is your grief. When you share them with others, they might have a different association when you share a name with them, as if you say, my baby died. People often minimalize that. Having a name gives us a different option to make them a human being, which they are, but I'm saying for others, sometimes it's minimalized because they haven't met them, because they haven't seen them, because maybe you don't have pictures or we're not running around raving the baby ultrasound pictures and everything we have all the time. Yeah. It's a weird thing when you lose a baby, when you lose someone else too, that you kind of have this emptiness, this new identity in you, like, I feel so different from everyone else, but no one sees it. I was just talking about that with a client yesterday. I remember that, like, sometimes I felt like I just wanted to run around with a sign like, hi, I lost my baby, hi. Sounds weird, and sometimes I did not, but it just feels like you want to be acknowledged for that, and you want to be seen for being a mother. So naming your baby is one part of creating that memory, and saying goodbye, saying hello, making it real. So what can you do when you don't know the gender of your baby? One thing you can do is feel inside yourself. Maybe you have like an intuition and inner knowledge, or you always thought it's going to be a boy, it's going to be a girl. And name them. You can also give a gender neutral name. You can be extremely creative and name them after something that you connect them with. You can name them like, oh, this is baby cloud, or this is my baby bird, or my little marble, or, you know, I don't necessarily mean a name that you would give your baby after birth, but have like a name that you connect with them. And the second part is creating as many memories as possible. So that's basically the sense of keepsakes. Everything that you can find. Ultrasound pictures, photographs, clothes that you already bought, maybe clothes that they've been wearing, drawings of your baby, footprints, flowers that you maybe got, you might be able to dry them, pictures of the funeral, certificates that you got. You can create a place where you can go, where you have a place on the cemetery where you can go. You can have both. Maybe you already bought them like a toy, a little doll, something that you can hold on to, that you can grieve with, that is physical. Maybe a blanket that you can like cuddle with. I don't see you really here. And don't forget your pregnancy. Maybe a memory from the day you found out you were pregnant, your pregnancy test, maybe clothes that you were wearing, buying only for pregnancy, something you were doing, maybe talking to your baby, or writing letters to them, or one of my memories is that I actually was playing piano and singing, and I was thinking so much about my son when I was singing, like I was singing for him. Other memories of being with your baby during pregnancy or afterwards, like, can you remember the day when you shared with others that you were pregnant? Can you remember the day when you know but no one else knew, and you had this kind of inner excitement and knowledge? And like, yes, I'm sharing that with a smile because I remember them and I share with them and I love them and I love being in them. And I know that they also can make us really sad, but this is not about being happy. It's about grieving. It's about honoring your baby, honoring your loss, making it real, processing it, processing what happened, having the chance to like be with your baby, be with the memories, and taking that as a tool to grieve. Maybe you have memories with your baby, maybe if they were born and lived for a while, for a few days, for a few hours. Maybe you have some pictures from there. Maybe you have clothes that they were wearing. Maybe you have a blanket that they have there. So that's really what I mean. Like, gather everything that is already there and don't forget the small things that you maybe would forget about, you not forget about, but ignore. And write down your memories if you want to. Write down the day that they were conceived, the day that I found I was pregnant, and much more. It's healing. It's painful and healing. Number 3. The part of creating memories, mementos, and rituals is doing something for your baby. That might be arranging the funeral if you're that early after your loss. On your funeral, you have many options that I can share with you in another episode. Like, for example, painting the coffin, or choosing something that you can put in the coffin, or when you choose to have an urn, when you cremate them, you can send something off with them and keep the counterpiece for yourself. However, I will do this in another episode, because for those of you that already after the funeral, it might be a bit triggering to hear about all those options. Sometimes it can be good, sometimes it's okay. Be triggered and be angry and be sad that you didn't have that opportunity, that you didn't know about it, or that you didn't choose to do it. Don't beat yourself up about it. But it's also part of the process. Like, it's okay to go there and think, like, I'm really sad, upset, and angry that I didn't choose to take a picture of me and my son when we turned off the life support and he was in my arms. I'm really sad when I think about that. It's a regret that I have. That's okay. I can feel that regret. And not like it's not taking over my life, but it's part of what happened, and I know what I would do differently if I had experienced another loss. Create a lot of memories and mementos. Maybe it's already later after the funeral. So what you can do is write a poem, do some arts and crafts, create a candle, burn a candle in honor of your baby, write a song, plant a tree, create a little garden spot for them, create another place in your home in honor of them with like little small things. A lot of options when it comes to arts and crafts. You can paint stones or make little stars for the Christmas tree, and many, many more that are probably better to share in a blog post. And rituals. Rituals are things that you do like on a regular basis or once in time. Like a funeral is a ritual. It's where people gather together in honor of someone. And we already talked about that. And I said I will talk about it in a different episode. So you can choose to listen to it or not. So other rituals are, for example, candle lighting. Candle lighting in honor of your baby. Maybe you can play a song that reminds you of them. Maybe you do it every day. Maybe you do it once a week. Maybe once a month. Maybe once a year. You can do it however often you like. It is just a little ritual that builds up and keeps the connection to your baby, because your mother or your parent, and you are supposed to have a baby in your arm that you can nurture, that you can connect with, and you don't. So the way you can create connection is with those little rituals. But they can also be connected with anniversaries, the birthday, the death anniversary, maybe they fall together, the due date. Zeman's due date was 3 months after he was born, so we had a little get together with my closest family, and baking cake, lighting candles, getting flowers. So we did all of those things, and it was not necessarily like a happy day. Yeah, there were some laughs. Yeah. And we were thinking about, oh, what would he be like? And we were laughing about our imagined memory of like a little boy doing this or that silly thing. And it's not an overall happy moment. Anyways, that's not what memories, mementos, and rituals are necessarily for. They are there for you to process and heal. And that happens sometimes by allowing us to feel sad, by allowing us to feel angry, by acknowledging our loss. Other things I like to do, and for me they are a ritual, when I want to connect to Zeman, that might be on an anniversary, but also in between, I like to write to him. I have a little book that I started after he died. I write short messages in there. I do like connecting with him in meditation in my inner world, where I can connect with him. Sure, it's my imagination, but I can talk to him. I can have him hug me. I can hug him. I can have him climb all over me. And if that sounds weird to you, it's okay. We all have different ways to connect and honor and grieve. For me, it's really helpful. For me, it is one of the most pleasant healing experiences that, sometimes I cry, because that's also part of healing, like I said before. Okay, so what if it is too late to get those mementos those keepsakes that you didn't find, that you maybe didn't get. Like, maybe you didn't get pictures. Maybe you didn't choose to take them, or you didn't get a lot of support from the hospital and they didn't give you, like, a lot of things. And that happens. It's okay to regret that. It's okay to be sad about it. It's okay to grieve that. It's a secondary loss. And then I also think that we have the chance to take action for ourselves, so we don't go in this helplessness, because we experience something that makes us feel really helpless, something where we didn't really have the chance to change the outcome. But what we can change now is what we do to heal, what we do to grieve, what we do to process this. So what you can do now is be creative, find the things that work for you, so it's no one-size-fits-all approach ever here in grief, in life. You can paint a picture, write a song, write a letter, create a memorial for yourself, buy some like little statues for yourself, put them at home, take them with you, get a tattoo. Just a few ideas that some of us used and found helpful. Arts and crafts, they have so many options, like write his name everywhere, or not his or her name, or not, like if you know it's in memory of your baby, then it's also okay to not have the name and just put it everywhere. You can even create something, paint little stones and put them outside on the street in every corner, and they don't even need to say anything on there as long as you know. So you create more memories, and every time you go past this place you think of them, and every time you go past this place you think of them. So there are a lot of options of things that you can do for yourself, despite the fact that you don't have the memories, mementos that we have when we grieve a person in our life that has lived longer. And I think I can't stress enough that this might be painful. It's not about like being happy and joyful. You can, and it will make you smile someday to look at that and see the stone somewhere in a corner that you only you know is there. A friend of mine had actually like something painted that broke in a lot of little pieces, and first she was like really sad, devastated about it, because it was a memory of a baby and they broke, and she felt like, oh my god, I felt again. But she was able to shift that and actually send the little pieces of it all over the world, like not going on her own. And yes, that was before COVID, but we are getting back to being able to travel. But when I moved from Germany to New Zealand, she actually like gave one piece to me, and I put it in a place that I really liked in New Zealand, Cape Ranga, which is from the north, and two oceans come together. There is a lighthouse, and for New Zealand culture, it's a place where the souls pass over So I just found it so matching, and it's a really powerful place there. So that's one example of how you can take some action for yourself, for your healing. And what I want to stress is it's not about being happy all the time. It's not about it being peaceful and pleasant all the time. For me, it's where I wanted to go to when I lost Simon, to a place where I can think about him and feeling at peace and feeling a lot of love. And it's where I am now most of the time. But what I realized is that when I fight negative emotions, they're just like doubling and coming back and coming back and coming back. So I'm not fighting them anymore. I have a lot of moments when I'm feeling so much love and so much peace when I think about Simon. And I have moments when I'm looking at the stars and the tears are falling, and that's okay. So that's that part of acceptance, though, that sadness is okay, grief is okay. And it's a process and comes and goes in waves. Maybe you can embrace it. Maybe you can imagine to hug yourself and just be with yourself, for yourself, with your grief, with your sadness. And that's okay. All right, guys. I hope this was helpful for some of you. I always love to hear from you, to connect with you. You can follow me, always send me a message, and I'd also be honored if you choose to get support from me. So reach out to me if you're interested in that, and I see you, hear you, you hear me the next time. Sending you a big hug. Know that I'm really sorry for your loss and what you're experiencing. No one should go through that. And I'm sending you a really, really, really big heartfelt hug. I know you've got this. I know you don't want to be strong. You wish you would not need to be, but you are. And I see you and all those aspects of the loss and the grief. Bye.